Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Elvis Cross again this evening. You're very welcome. No matter where you're listening to or listening from, you're very welcome to join with us as we come to worship God. And we're thankful for His grace and His goodness. And we trust that as we come again together to hear Claire's testimony and to hear a short message from God's Word at the end, we trust that God will use everything that we have to say and do and what you hear, that He'll give you listening grace and deciding grace, and that He'll move into your home and into your sitting room where you are, and may you know and encounter Him. That's our desire, isn't it? We want to meet with God. We just don't want to go through the rituals and the motions of meeting together, but we want to know the reality, the dynamic of the Holy Spirit, who's able to be with you and He's able to be here. And we sensed Him with us here this morning in the church, and I trust that you sensed Him with you where you are. We're going to sing a couple of songs together. The first one, just to get us into a joyful mood, and we want to thank the Lord for His love and His goodness. The first one is, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for loving me. And we want you to sing your very best, and let's sing to God's praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. You went to Calvary, there you died for me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. You went to Calvary, and there you died for me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. You rose up from the grave to me new life you gave. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. You rose up from the grave to me new life you gave. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. You're coming back again, and we with you shall reign. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. You're coming back again, and we with you shall reign. Thank you, Lord, for loving me.
Isn't it wonderful to know that as things are and as they stand, they're not always going to be the same? And isn't that a very real truth, and it's a very precious truth, and especially at this time when we face so much isolation and distancing, cocooning and separation, and the break from the normal way of life, and to know that it's not always going to be the same, but one day He's going to break through the clouds, and we're going to enter into our eternal existence in the presence of God and rejoice with Him forevermore. Thank God for Jesus. And this song is fairly new to me, and I'm sure it's fairly new to you as well. But I invite you to sing along with me, because it tells us the full message of the gospel. It tells us the message of how people treated the Lord Jesus on that day. See Him. It's called Jerusalem. Sing with us, please.
See Him in Jerusalem, walking where the crowds are. Once these streets had sung to Him, now they cry for murder. Such a frail and lonely man, holding up the heavy cross. See Him walking in Jerusalem, on the road to save us. See Him there upon the hill, hear the scorn and laughter. Silent as a lamb He waits, pray
moon and shining stars. Set the soldiers hold and nail him down so that he could save them. See him there upon the cross, now no longer breathing. Dust that formed the watching crowds takes the blood of Jesus. Feel the earth is shaking now. See the veil is split in two. And he stood before the wrath of God, shielding sinners with his blood. See the empty tomb today. Death could not contain him. Once the servant of the world, now in victory reigning. Lift your voices to the one who is seated on the throne. See him in the new Jerusalem. Praise the one who saves us. Lift your voices to the one who is seated on the throne. See him in the new Jerusalem. Praise the one who saved us. Praise the one that saved us.
Well, we thank God for the gospel message, for the salvation that's full and free and available to all who will call on his name. Praise the one who saved them. Praise the one who saves us, and he died to save us. We want to commit our gathering to the Lord. Let's all bow together in prayer. Let's pray as we come before the Lord, asking for his blessing and for his touch upon our gathering here. And where you are, bring the children with you. Ask them to bow their head. Still your heart before God. Everything else is going on. Close it out and turn it off. And just let's come before him. Lord, thank you for that every opportunity that we have to worship and sing your praises is a blessing from God. Thank you, Lord, for the messages of the gospel that we've sang about. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. Lord, we believe that in these days that you are working, you're moving in the communities and in the world. And you're speaking loudly and clearly through your word and through the issues that we are facing today. We ask, Lord, in this gathering this evening that we may indeed truly encounter the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, as Claire shares her testimony in a few moments, we ask, Lord, that you will use what she says to speak to all our hearts. And Lord, if there are those who are listening, who are still in darkness, still, Lord, in rebellion, still with their backs turned towards God, we pray that even, Lord, now as Claire shares and opens up her heart to tell of what the Lord has done for her, we ask, Lord, that you will find an entrance. Lord, how tragic it is, how tragic that nature responds to God. The animals responded to the voice of God. Lazarus responded to the voice of God. And yet, Lord, perhaps there are those who are listening and as yet have not responded to the voice of God. May that all change this evening, we pray. And grant that great glory and honor will go to your name. We roll the issues of this meeting. We pray that as Philip Bowles sings to us just now, and Lord, later on as we hear from Claire and share your word, we pray, dear God, that you will use everything that we do and bring souls savingly to yourself in fear and in faith of the great God who loved us and gave himself for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned this morning, we have some recordings of Philip Bowles. He kindly sent us some of his songs, and he's going to sing one song just now. It's called The Love of God. Thank you, Gary, and thank you, Johnny.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell, the guilty prayer bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. And were the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song, the saints and angels' song.
Thank you, Philip, for that ministry. I'm sure that that song has touched your heart as you think about the love of God. There's no paper and no ink that could fully describe the love of God for your soul and for mine. And if you want to know the extent of that great love, then all you need to do is look at Calvary. Oftentimes we live in a world that knows nothing really about that love, and yet he wants you to experience it for yourself. Thank you, Philip. Thank you for taking the time to record those. And he has others sent to us, and we'll use them over the weeks that lay ahead. But thank you for that, and we'll be hearing from him in a few moments just again.
Just a little few announcements to say that on Wednesday at 7:30 we plan on having a Zoom prayer meeting, and those of you who are involved with that will receive the contact details on how to log in and log on via Zoom, and we encourage you to start logging on at 7:15 so we can begin at 7:30, and you'll have received those prayer updates from me on Thursday past, and you know that there's much to pray about. Please do everything you can. Surely there can't be anything that you're involved in that's more important than seeking God together as a church. Jesus and the Word of God says that we are to come together to pray. And that's a challenge, and that's also an instruction, and it's a command that we ought always to pray. It's not an optional extra. And can we encourage you to meet as a church on Wednesday at 7:15 log on time, where we begin the prayer meeting at 7:30, and you will get details on that prayer group app that we have created. Next Lord's Day, I'll be here again in the pulpit, both morning and evening, and we're looking to the Lord again. But my sister, Caroline Lovett, who is a nurse in the front line in the Republic of Ireland, who has also suffered from a medical condition called bronchitis, and she will be sharing a word of testimony next Lord's Day evening, as well as yours truly here will be bringing a short word from God's Word. We're maybe giving Solomon and the book of Ecclesiastes just a little rest for a wee while whilst we have these testimonies, and I believe it's of the Lord, and thankfully, with thanks to Caroline for taking the time to record that and send it to us next evening. And the title of her testimony is "I've Survived COVID-19, even though she had underlying medical issues as well. If there are any needs, please, you see the website, you see the contact details, and we'd very much appreciate if you would need any help at all, then please do not be afraid to get in touch. We have folk on the phone who can phone you. We can pray with you over the phone. We've been doing that all along since the lockdown has happened, and we want to help you. And surely, don't be struggling through. Don't be muddling through, because we want to come alongside. Even if it's at a distance over the phone, we want to be able to help you and encourage you in your walk with God. So please remember that. And thank you to those who have sent in little gifts and sent in little helps for those little gifts that Paul and Gail have arranged. Thank you for the team of those who have been going around delivering them to the folks as well. And they want me to express their thanks and appreciation for all who have been involved. And so we trust that it'll be a source of blessing to you. We want to have another congregational song this time, and I think it is "How Deep the Father's Love for Us," and it's a congregational song, so it'll be one that we've recorded from a past service, and I trust you'll enjoy singing along. Don't just listen, sing along. We'll open the windows and we'll turn it up loud, and we'll let the area and the community hear it as well, because it is something worth listening to. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Amen. I trust that has been a blessing to you as we sang along. What a wonderful verse, that last verse. And see him resplendent on the throne, the sun's all brought to glory. A wretch is now God's treasure. Thankfully, and thank God for the mercy and the grace and the power of God to save and deliver and set us free. He can make your life that is misery into a life of joy and delight and pleasure. Well, we're thankful to Philip for these recordings and this little song that he's just going to sing now, just immediately before Claire. I'm not going to come in now between Philip and Claire. Philip's going to sing this song, and immediately afterwards, thankfully, we're thankful to Claire for taking the time, and she's going to share a word of testimony. Thank you. In that order, Gary, please. Thank you.
For giving me this opportunity to do this evening, and I'm a bit the same as Amanda. I'm not really sure if it's easier to do it this way or to be chatting face to face with you all. That way I could see who was falling asleep, but that'll not happen like this. And I just want to say how much I'm missing church and how much I miss all of you there. I really hope that you're all staying safe and well and managing to deal with this strange time that we're going through. So I'm Claire Cuthbert. I was Claire Logan until May 2016, and I'm married to Andrew. I'm 32 years old and I currently work as a ward-based pharmacist in the City Hospital in Belfast. And I just want to say as well that my testimony is not a big fancy testimony, nothing flashy in my life, but you know, it's not about me, it's all about God and what he's done for me in my life, and I just want to thank him for that, and I want to make sure that he is the one that the focus is on in this. So I have a notebook here, so I'm just gonna be looking at that. I was brought up with a Christian influence when I was younger. My mum's mum, my nanny Sally, was a Christian, and she took me to Brethren meetings and the Brethren Sunday School, which I loved. So that was a really good influence in my life. Whenever I was about 10 or 11, my parents got saved within about a week of each other, or a couple of weeks maybe. And I really panicked then, because I realised that they would be going to heaven and I wouldn't. I'd be going to hell if I died, and I didn't want to be left on my own. So I think I made just some kind of profession of faith back then, but it wasn't, I don't think it wasn't real. And life kind of went on, and as I went to high school then, you know, it wasn't really cool to be a Christian, and you were hanging out with people, and my life just drifted away from God and I had no real interest there. This went on for a while, until, I'm not sure what age I was, maybe about 22 or so, that we started attending Larne Mission Hall, where Trevor was the minister at the time. And he spoke a lot on God's love and mercy, and it was, you know, there were really good messages, and my mum and my dad and all used to be like, oh, wasn't that an amazing message? And yeah, it was good, but it wasn't really, I didn't really feel anything, and I wanted to know that God was really speaking to me, to know that it was real. And you know, I don't think my family could understand how I was just sitting there not feeling anything, but I can't explain it either, but it was all in God's timing. So after when Trevor moved and went to Abbots Cross, we also moved then. That was January 2011. And that actually was my dad's family church from whenever he was young. And I really enjoyed going to church at Abbots even before I was a Christian. I enjoyed being part of a greater church family, so I went quite regularly. And even though, you know, I was going out clubbing and just spending time with my friends, and even though I wasn't doing anything terrible, I was still as lost as any other sinner in the world. But anyway, this life continued. I kept going to church and just living, you know, also just living a normal life, not being a Christian. And this went on until the 29th of May, 2011. And it was just a regular weekend. The night before, on the Saturday, I'd been out partying, got up on the Sunday morning and went to church with my family. But that service changed my life. And sitting in that service, it felt like I was the only person in church that day. So the children's talk was about how you could wear a funny false mask or whatever, and you're hiding your face, but you're not hiding how you feel inside, and that God knows exactly who you are and how you're feeling inside. And I was like, oh goodness. And then the soloist sang Casting Crowns, and the words were, if we've ever needed you, Lord, it's now. We are desperate for your hand. We're reaching out. And I felt like I was singing that song. My heart was pounding. And then the pastor got up and he spoke on the woman with the blood disorder in Matthew chapter 5, and how she had the faith to know that if she just reached out and touched the Lord, just even in his cloak, that she would be healed. And that's what happened. And I just knew without a doubt that God was speaking directly to me that morning. I went home, but I knew I had to go back to church that night. And it was actually supposed to be another speaker in the service that evening, but he had to cancel. So the pastor took the service and he spoke on how God keeps you when you become a Christian, that it's not in your own might or your own strength, but it's God that keeps us. And God makes no mistakes. I needed to hear that evening. And it was like God was saying, it's okay, Claire, I've got you. You just need to take the next step. And so afterwards I spoke to the pastor, we prayed together, and I just felt this sense of real love for God, was really overwhelmed by it, and just a real sense of relief and peace, a huge sense of peace. God had been so gracious to me over the years. Even when I had no interest in him, he had helped me through exams, through different things in life. And why? Just because he loved me. I confessed that I was a sinner, and I asked him for forgiveness and accepted him as my saviour and friend. And, you know, I haven't looked back since then. And, you know, I just want to read Psalm 116, verses 1 to 9. And it says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy, because he bends down to listen. I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is. How good he is. So merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death, and he saved me. Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. He has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. So whenever, you know, you get saved, you obviously feel elated and, you know, this is wonderful and life is wonderful. This is it. And that's true. But at the same time, it's not all rosy in the garden. I had so many different experiences with God where he has clearly led me and guided me. He has challenged me, encouraged me. But when I was reading back over them, I keep a notebook with it, with all these things in it. And I just, before I'd even got to the notebook, there were ones that really I felt just impressed on my heart to talk about this evening. And I really hope that the Lord uses them in some way. So first of all, I graduated from pharmacy in June 2012, and then I completed my pre-registration year in July 2013. So I didn't have a job lined up. I had to locum for a while. What I wanted to do was to work in a hospital, and in Antrim Hospital specifically. But nothing had come to any fruition. But this offer of working for Boots Pharmacy in Devon in England came up, and I took it. And it was all arranged, and I was telling everyone how great this was, and oh, it's going to be wonderful. But inside, I was torn apart. And I just did not know what to do. And it took me a while, and I don't know why it took me so long, but it took me a while to come to the Lord, to really look to him for help on the whole decision making. And he should have been the first person that I went to, but of course we make mistakes, and he was my last port of call. Anyway, that day whenever I went to pray to the Lord, I really, really felt him impressing Psalm 107 in my heart. And as I read it, I just felt like this massive just weight being lifted. I just knew that God was speaking to me, and I was so thankful that he had communicated to me. And I just want to read some verses from it. So it's Psalm 107, and just through the whole psalm, it repeats, Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. And that was me. I was crying for help. I did not know what to do. And it also repeats then after that, let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. So I kept reading, and that was all lovely. And then I got to verse 35 and 36, and it says, but he also turns deserts into pools of water, the dry land into springs of water. He brings the hungry to settle there and to build their cities. And when I read those verses, I just knew I was not to go. This was a desert here for me. There was nothing. There was no job lined up. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew I had to stay. I knew this is where I was to settle and live my life. So I didn't go. But This was sort of in the September time of 2013. And then the next thing just that I wanted to speak about is in October 2013, I was supposed to move to Devon on the 14th of October. And on the 17th of October, my nanny Sally, that I spoke about at the start, took a brain hemorrhage, and she ended up in the Royal in ICU on life support, and we turned it off on Sunday the 20th of October. And this just really, really confirmed to me that I was not to have gone to Devon, because I would have just got there on the Monday, and my nanny took home ill on the Thursday, and to have been away and not been with my family and to have tried to have got home for that, it just would have been too much. And it's just, it shows God doesn't make any mistakes, and he's in control, and he knew I wasn't to go. And then a week after my nanny passed away, I got a phone call to say that there was a job for me in Antrim Hospital, and it was amazing. You know, I was delighted. That was the job that I had wanted. So I just had to wait, and I just had to trust the Lord, and, you know, look what happened. But I just want to touch a wee bit on my nanny's death, and, excuse me. I was really angry with God for the first couple of weeks after she passed away. I couldn't understand why. I knew what had happened and medically why, but just, I was baffled. She was so young, she was only 61, and I just didn't get it. And I didn't pray for a while after she passed away. But when I did finally pray, I felt such a comfort and just a real peace. I knew my nanny was fully healed in heaven, and she was there rejoicing, and I couldn't be angry anymore. And the only thing though was my heart then broke for the people in my family who weren't saved but were grieving for my nanny. And I had the Lord, and I really don't know how I would have got through without him. And so I was just, I don't know how they got through without the Lord. And being a Christian, it doesn't stop you experiencing bad things or sad things. And it doesn't, you know, reveal reasons why maybe bad things happen. Sometimes it does, but it's just about knowing and having that assurance that God is in control, and that you have the peace that passes all understanding to get through those bad situations. So just to lighten the mood a wee bit, have a wee bit of romance now. So I just want to chat a wee bit about Andrew, actually. And he was such a good friend to me from when I got saved. And it took a while, but we finally got together. I had in my head what I thought was the perfect plan for my future husband. You know, I had this list in my head, and this went on for a couple of years. I had different relationships and they did not work out, and I was losing the plot. Why, what am I doing wrong? You know, what's going on here? And so I spent time with God. I just wanted to, you know, ask him to lead me and guide me to the right man for me. And I said to him, you know, Lord, please lead me to the right person, even if that means you changing my heart. And, you know, I think deep down, I always knew how wonderful Andrew was, but I didn't want to change this list that I had in my head. And so it took me coming to the point of admitting that I needed to be changed in my own heart. And, you know, that's such an important thing for us as Christians, because we could be living our Christian life, and we could be praying about something and hoping for something and wondering why nothing's happening. But, you know, we need to look at ourselves and allow ourselves to be changed and transformed by God, because he's not going to enforce his will on us. He gave us free will. And so it's so important that we allow ourselves to be molded by him. And that's the point that I had come to. So I developed feelings for Andrew, and I thought, I'll keep these to myself, not tell anybody. But I told my best friend, and she was delighted. I waited a while, and then I thought, right, okay, work up the courage to tell my mum. And I, you know, there was me thinking, I was telling her this big revelation, and she just turned around and said, oh yeah, love, we know, and we've been praying about it for the last few weeks. It's like, okay, great. So then I finally thought, well, okay, it's fine. I'll keep it from Andrew. He'll not find out. But I'm as subtle as a brick. And of course, Andrew did find out and work it out. I'm so thankful to God that he brought us together. And I'm just so thankful to him for Andrew, because he's been such a wonderful influence and such a blessing in my life, and just helped me through so many things. So I just wanted to touch briefly on the big subject that everyone is talking about at the minute, and that's coronavirus. So as I said at the start, I'm a ward-based pharmacist in the City Hospital, or the Nightingale Hospital, whatever you want to call it. And it was grand at the start. It was fine, you know, when coronavirus sort of came on the scene. I thought, it's okay, it's fine, you know, we'll be a clean hospital, a clean site, and the matter will have all the patients, and that's okay. But one day I came into work and we were told, okay, so when the matter is full, your ward is the next ward that the COVID patients are coming to. And I am not an anxious person, but I experienced real anxiety at this time. I was scared. I couldn't sleep. I was so emotional. You know, I was watching the news and seeing everything that was going on in Italy and everything that was happening even in England at this stage, and seeing all the healthcare staff that were dying, and it was the whole unknown of the situation that scared me the most. And I was really, really struggling with it all. And then the lockdown happened, and church as we knew it had to end. And Andrew took the first morning live stream service, and I so strongly felt God speaking to me that morning, as I know that many of you did. And I just want to read to you Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Not 4 to 16. And it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And I just felt God saying to me, don't panic, Claire. I've got you there for a reason. Everything is fine, and you have my peace. And I just sat there and cried. And I just really knew that God was going to get me through this. And I did honestly feel a change from that moment on. And I came into work when we were trying to set up and get all the doors put on and everything done that we needed to do. I came in one day and I was really smiling. And this girl said to me, why are you so happy? And I said, because I have the peace of God in my heart. And that's it. You know, and it wasn't a big thing to say to her, but I just felt in some way that was a bit of a witness to her. And I was provided with an office on the ward as well. And, you know, it was still on the ward, so I still had to wear the PPE when I was in it. But at least it gave me a place to go to just gather my thoughts and to just have some time to myself and to pray. And it was just great to have that space. And I was also driving to work one day, and a song based on Psalm 34 came onto my playlist, and I've shared this with a lot of you, but it really, really spoke to me. And that evening then, Andrew and I read it in our prayer time, and verses 5 and 18 just stood out to me. So it's Psalm 34, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but verse 5 says, "Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces." And verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." And I just, you know, I've really felt God's hand of peace and protection throughout this whole time, these last sort of 7 to 8 weeks, I think it's been. And just knowing that the low numbers that we have seen here in Northern Ireland have been such an answer to prayer. But finally, you'll be glad to know, because I know I'm at 22 minutes, I can see it on the video. I'm sorry, Pastor. But I just wanted to say, I feel at the minute that God is really trying to teach me trust in my relationship with him. As my walk goes on and different situations are ongoing in our lives and circumstances are changing, I just feel it's a really huge thing to have in your relationship with the Lord, and we need it. And it's not easy to say just or to do, let go and let God, but that's what he wants, that's what he needs us to do, and he has our best interests at heart, and they're way better than we could ever imagine for ourselves. But this whole thing of me learning to trust the Lord has been really confirmed, because whenever I was preparing for this evening, I looked back to testimony cards that I had from a few years ago, and I found these two random ones that I'd written at the end, and I don't really know why I wrote them, or because they didn't really join on to the testimony that I'd written. But when I read them, I just knew God was speaking to me, and I wrote, "We don't need to know everything or know when things are going to happen. All we need to know and realize is that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." And that's Psalm 46, verse 1. "And we just need to trust him, because things happen in his perfect timing and he is answering our prayers, even if it's not obvious to us." And I mean, I wrote that, I think, 2012, 2013. I'm still learning the lesson of trust now. But yeah, that's just something that I would really appreciate prayer for. And yeah, so thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry I've taken so long, Pastor. Just as well, we're socially distancing. You can't shout at me. But anyway, thank you. And I hope you all stay safe and keep well. And God bless.
Thank you, Claire, for that testimony, that very genuine and honest testimony. And there you go, Claire got her husband in Abbott's Cross. And so I'm sure Andrew's delighted the day that Claire came to the church and got saved. And who knows, but maybe the Lord has saved you, Claire, for Andrew. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's interesting what Claire has been saying there in her testimony. She did text me before the service and said, "Pastor, I used the wrong reference." She said, "I used Matthew chapter 5 for the woman with the issue of blood." And it was, she said, in fact, Mark chapter 5. And she wanted me to correct that, and so that you theologians wouldn't be wondering where she found that in. So thank you very much. But there's one thing that she said, and I've listened to my sister's testimony as well. And she says in her testimony there was a fear that struck over her heart. And I believe that's one of the things that the enemy tries to do. Tries to get us to doubt the love of God. Because that's really what fear is in the heart of a Christian. It's doubting whether God has your best interests at heart, and whether he's got your best well-being at heart as well. And so Caroline answers that question as well next week as she shares her testimony. As I said, I survived COVID-19 is what she, her testimony. And maybe, just maybe, there have been those who have questioned the love of God in all of this. I want to talk to you very, very quickly, and it is only a little epilogue at the end, because Claire, I did get a wee whimper that you'd taken almost 25 minutes. That's okay. And it's found in John chapter 3 and verse 16. God's unrecognized love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God help us to hear and to apply his truth to our hearts as we listen to the message of love, as we hear and heed what Claire has been sharing in her testimony, and give grace, Lord, at this time as we come to your word just now. Love is one of the most talked about. It's one of the most sung about. It's one of the most sought after, longed for experiences of all. And yet when you think of this great aspect of people's relationships, people look for it in people, they look for it in places, and they look for it in pastimes. Yet for many, and for whatever reason, they never really seem to find that love that they are looking for. It seems to be very elusive. And sadly, many, many never find real, true love. People write silly letters about it. They sing silly songs about it. Some people mock it. Some people question it. Some people dispute it, dismiss it. Some people even debate it or discuss it. And then some people arrive at the conclusion there is no such thing as real, genuine, heartfelt love. There are many versions of love, and there are also many perversions of love in our world today. To the point where people have come to a conclusion that there is no such thing as genuine, perfect, real, true love. We all know unemotional and unfeeling and uncaring and harsh and cruel and indifferent and vicious and violent people. And oftentimes people put God over as if he's one of these uncaring, cruel individuals who's harsh, who's totally disinterested in the affairs of men, he's unfeeling towards his creation. This verse, this passage in John chapter 3, verse 16, tells us something of the great love of God. God so loved the world. It's a love that transcends. It's a love that from which all other loves can only be a pale reflection of this wonderful love of God. In the few moments that I have left to me, I want to bring just to your heart to let you know how much you're loved. To let you know how vital and how valuable that love that God has for you. And we find it in our text. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The first thing that I want to say, no matter how elusive or no matter how difficult you have been to try and discover this love, I want to tell you of the existence of God's love. God so loved the world. That's the statement that the scriptures make here. Jesus himself said it. God so loved the world. The fact that people don't find it or don't feel it or don't discover it or can't put a face on it is not evidence of the fact that it doesn't exist. It could be that you're looking for this love in all the wrong places and in all the wrong people. It could be that you're looking for this love for all the wrong reasons. And it might even be that you're purely looking for it in human experience. But the love of God, as Philip sang about earlier, is something greater, something far more wonderful than any love that you could ever imagine. And you were in danger if you tried to compare God's love with anything else. I love that little text in 1 John chapter 4, where it says, God is love. Let me tell you, love does not define God. God defines love. God defines love. I have so many, and the reason that I'm emphasizing this today is that because they look upon this pandemic and all that the threat that it is to the world, and they look upon the disasters of our nations and in our world, in our times, and they say, well, if God was a God of love, then why did he let such and such happen? I remember standing at a door in Tobermore at a farmer's door. And I remember him telling me about the death of his two sons. One was 15 and the other was 16. I remember him telling me how that they had both died from two totally unrelated rare diseases. And they died within a month of each other. And he stood there with tears still streaming years after the event. And he said, how can you tell me about a God of love? And he let that happen. Isn't it interesting that we always look at the disasters in the world and we point the finger at God and say God mustn't be loving, even though before that we hardly ever give him a thought? I told that man that he was speaking to the right individual, that I too had asked those questions at the death of my son. And the way that God simply answered was, they pointed me to Calvary, to the one that died for me. And it was there that I became very aware of the love of God, how it existed. And anyway, my dear friends, as I said a few weeks ago, it wasn't God that brought death into this world. The Bible doesn't say anywhere that God hated the world. God loved the world. Doesn't mean to say he liked the world. He loves the world. It was Satan and hell itself that brought death and sickness and sin into this world. And if you're looking for someone to blame for the disasters in your life, or if you're looking for someone to blame for the wickedness and the cruelty that's in this world, and the things that have left deep scars in your heart, then you need look beyond God and look to the world and to the devil. It was him, and the Bible says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, and for that all have sinned. And sickness and disease and tragedies have all started in the caverns of hell. The existence of his love. I remember, or we read in John chapter 11, where Jesus is standing at the tomb of Lazarus, and it says, Jesus wept. He wept. And then those religious leaders sarcastically level at him, see how he loved him, being sarcastic. In other words, well, if that's his love, that he allowed him die from a disease, then that's not much love, is it? Well, I see the Lord Jesus embracing the leper. I see him taking the woman caught in adultery and saying, neither do I accuse you. I see him taking the widow whose son had died and restoring her hope and faith and seeing him raised again from the dead. The existence of his love. Very quickly, notice the evidence of God's love. He gave his only begotten son. You know, real love is proven not by what you say. How many times have people said to you, I love you, but the evidence is so much the contrary. People can say what they like, and they can tell you as often as they like, but real love is evidenced in what you do, in what you do. People say all sorts of things, but their actions belay their feelings. A young man said to his sweetheart, darling, I would swim through shark-infested waters. I would run through fire. I would climb the highest mountain just to be near you. And if it's not wet on Friday, I'll call to see you. What about the man, you've heard me talk about it before, the man with the delivers a box of chocolates, and you see him running through fire. You see him running through shark-infested waters, and you see him scaling dangerous situations. And then he lays this box of chocolates, and it says, all because the lady loved milk tray. Well, what did God give to prove the evidence of his love for you and I? Did he give us a set of dictates? Did he give us a set of directives? No, God gave the very best that he had. And the very best that he had was his son. And I want to say to you that's listening, wherever it may be, that Jesus Christ, if you'd been the only person that ever lived, God thought so much of you that he still would have come and died. The evidence of God's love for you is the coming of Jesus Christ as a man. The Son of God became a man, given by the Father for you and I. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Some may sarcastically say, I have life, sure I'm breathing. The life he's talking about is eternal life. The evidence of this love he gave. Very quickly, the extent of this love. As I said, some people give flowers, some people give perfume, some people give chocolates, some people give clothes, some people give gadgets or other stuff, but God gave his son. Why did he give his son? He gave his son because only he could satisfy the justice and the holiness of God. Only he could appease the wrath of God. Because your problem and mine between God and why the love of God evades us is because there's a sin barrier between us and God. And when we look at it from a human perspective, we think that there's nothing wrong. But when you look at it from a divine perspective, we know that there's a huge barrier of sin. And no matter what you try to do, no matter how hard you try to, you can't remove that barrier. You can't span that gap. Only Jesus could. And you might sit in your home and you might say, well, I haven't done anybody any harm. I haven't said anything wrong. I haven't hurt anyone. And I haven't stolen anything. And I'm not a bike robber. That doesn't matter. It's not what you do that makes you the sinner. It's because you're a sinner that makes you do the sin. And you mightn't have gone down that road of sin very, very far. That's irrelevant. You're still a sinner with the barrier of sin between you and God. But Jesus Christ, the righteous one, has paid the penalty and he's borne our sin that we might be forgiven. The extent of this love. He gave. He gave his life a ransom for many. Here's what Paul says. God demonstrates his love for us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Notice that thirdly, the experience of this love, believeth in him. You say, all right, I believe that Christ died on the cross, and I also believe that he did it for me, and I believe that this verse tells me, but I still don't feel any different. But do you believe? I've often said from this pulpit, you know, we believe, we behave what we believe, or how we behave describes, displays how what we believe. And people might believe, might say they believe, but do they really? Because believing in him, it alters your behavior. It defines your behavior. It directs your behavior. What does it really mean to believe? It means to cast myself on him. It means to repent, to turn away from my sinful ways and my sinful attitude and my rebellious heart. It means to say, I've done with that and I'm doing it no more. And it is to take up the cross and it is to take up faith in Jesus Christ. And it say, Jesus for me and Jesus for me alone. Believeth on him. You ever heard tell of someone saying he puts all his eggs in the one basket? When it comes to my spiritual well-being, all of my eggs are in the one basket, and that is Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone. The experience of this love. I had a friend once said to me, you know, I've got a notion of this girl. Kind of like what Claire had with Andrew, or Andrew had with Claire, whatever way it was. And he said to me, I have feelings for her. Well, I don't know what to do. And I says, well, have you ever talked to her? No. Well, I says, how do you know that? How would she ever know that you have feelings for her unless you talk to her? And that afternoon, after strong advice and encouragement to go and talk to her, he did. And within a year, they were married. And they're still married today. And I think they're both thankful. You know, the only way that you'll enter into relationship with God is you come face to face with him and tell him that you need him, that you have a strong desire. You know that you're a sinner, that you know you have sinned against God, but you know that Christ died for you, and God gave Christ so that he might be your substitute. The experience. And then there's the entrance of this love. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Imagine what you enter into. You enter into that life of the eternal. You enter into life that will never end. And though your eyelids might close in death in this life, and Claire, your granny, as a Christian believer, she died in this life, but she opened up her eyes in heaven, and she lives in eternal life there. And death is just a short separation, and soon we'll be reunited for all eternity. Everlasting life, not everlasting death. That's reserved for those who reject Christ. No, we enter into everlasting life. Everlasting life in Christ. And it can be yours today. That's God's unrecognized love. To the large part, there's only few that ever find it. Because few only that ever realize it. Can I encourage you today as you listen to this short little message that you will turn to him, receive him as your Savior, accept him as your Lord, and serve him until he comes or calls, and you'll never regret it. Let's close in prayer, and then we're going to have a congregational hymn, but when it's sung, that's the service finished. But let's pray together. If we can be of any help to you, please don't be afraid to get in touch with us. We want to help you, and if you are crying out to God today for assurance of salvation, then please get in touch. Somebody got in touch with me this week, and it was great to hear of their conversion, and I'm glad to hear of others that have come back to the Lord. You could do that today, just where you are. You're not alone. We could be in the last days, and time is getting short. Father, we pray for deciding grace and your mercy to apply to every heart. Grant, O God, that you might give victory, and grant that you might gain access into every heart. We pray your blessing upon us. Thank you for those who have been listening today. Thank you for the mercy of God, and pray that, O God, many will enter into that grace, that great covenant with God, that Christ died for sinners and gave his life that we might be set free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Bless, Lord, we pray. Undertake for each one. May you be glorified in homes and hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. Thank you for listening. And we trust that this song, Amazing Grace, will bless your heart. And see you again next weekend. And God bless you. Thank you very much. Thanks, Gary. Let's start.